May it please God to bless us together this evening as we consider his word. Let's turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 48, and we'll read the last three verses, 12, 13, and 14. Psalm 48, and reading the last three verses, 12, 13, and 14. Walk about Zion, and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God for ever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. The psalm starts with a wonderful statement: great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. And it ends with these words: for this God is our God for ever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. It's an infinite mercy if we can agree from our heart with such words as these that the psalmist speaks. We're not told who the psalmist is. We don't know when this psalm was written. But what we know, it was ordained by the Holy Spirit of God. And therefore, it speaks to our hearts today. May it truly do so as we consider it together. And therefore, really, the psalm is speaking about the greatness of God and the church of God and the favour it is to be able to consider such a great God, this God who we pray may indeed be our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Well, I wonder tonight if that's our prayer, or if we're very casual in our situation, in our life. But the favour is that if God is our God, he will be our guide right down to death, and then we shall end in glory to be forever with the Lord. However, we are on the earth at the present time. And as we walk on the earth at the present time, we should be concerned about our spiritual life. And it is for that reason that the psalmist expresses such statements as this, that we are to hear his words, the word of God, and to walk about Zion and go round about her, tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces. Now, we come to the reason and the description of those just in a moment. But we have this statement, and what is the reason for that? And this is so necessary for us to recognize. The reason is told, that ye may tell it to the generation following. Ye may tell it to the generation following. It is therefore to describe those things that the Spirit of God reveals to our souls, that we should not just keep it to ourselves. You know, there's a very sad position where people say, well, of course, I'm not really one that speaks about these things. Well, you're not following the Lord if that's so. You're following your own plan. God receives honour and glory as the church of God tell it to the generation following. And it's one of the great lacks in the day and age in which we live. There's not the expression of the greatness of God and what he does and what he's doing and how we value him and what we think of him. Oh, what a sad day it is, isn't it? If you really consider us, our life and how we walk on this earth, and yet we have such gracious words of God, such clear scriptures to encourage us in the right way. Well, first of all then, in order for us to be able to tell to the generation following, there must be something to tell, mustn't there? And again, that's one of the problems today. People have nothing to tell, nothing to speak of. They have no experience spiritually. They're null and void. They're empty. They're just an outside shell with no life within. And therefore the silence, well, they can speak about chapels and people and everything else, but you see, there's that great lack of spiritual conversation, speaking of those things which are revealed. And so the psalmist tells us, walk about Zion, go round about her, tell the tales thereof. Well, what does Zion represent? It represents the living church of God. The living church of God. Zion represented really then the church of God. The temple was therein. But now there's no temple, but there is a church of God. And there is that which sets forth the true doctrines of the word of God. And that's what you and I are exhorted to do today. To walk about Zion. Walk about the church and the doctrines, to consider the truth of God. That means to study the truth of God prayerfully and carefully, desiring that we may have the truth of God revealed to our souls, and the truth which directs us to the suffering Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, all are walking about Zion, walking in the church, should direct us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may we be found then in this way, walking about Zion, up and down, considering the truth of God, considering his word, considering what it contains, what it sets before us. Religion's not just coming to chapel and then going home and forgetting all about it. True religion is a daily religion. It's a 24/7 religion. And you and I may therefore not come and leave chapel and forget what we've heard and never speak about it and never consider the word of God from one service to another, apart from perhaps we might read a few verses each day and think we've done our duty. And that's the shallowness today for the most part of the church of God. What is there is an emptiness, an emptiness. And therefore, we should thank God that we have this gracious exhortation, which it is. It's a gracious exhortation. The Lord speaks to our souls. What a mercy it is when God speaks to our souls. In such a word like this, walk about Zion. Go round about her, round about, examine her, examine the truth of God, examine the doctrines of God, those things which we believe, those things which you believe. Perhaps you don't believe anything, in which case you've got nothing to look at, nothing to examine. Blessing is if we have a desire to examine the things of God, and it really comes down to a very simple statement, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. They're familiar words, no doubt, to most of us. They're words which are often spoken. But again, do they come from our hearts or just from our head? How relevant it is to know that we have such a desire that we might grow in a spiritual sense, grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And so we are then to follow this way, go round about it, and tell the towers thereof. Tell the towers, those things which are around us, those things which we may be concerned about, to not be silent, to tell the towers of what we've seen, how the Lord has revealed himself unto us, as it is not unto the world. There are so many exhortations in the Word of God to honour our God. And yet there seems such a backwardness in the day and age in which we live to honour our God. Seems to be every excuse is raised so that the Lord is not proclaimed. He's not spoken about. He's not exalted. And so here we have this wonderful statement, walk about Zion, go round about her and tell the towers thereof. And then he moves on and he says, mark ye well her bulwarks. Mark ye well her bulwarks. And this means to mark it in our heart, with our heart. Mark it with our heart. The bulwarks. What are bulwarks? Well, they are things which strengthen. Bulwarks around a building strengthen the building. And there are bulwarks in the things of God, which by God's grace strengthen our faith. And my friends, what is the greatest bulwark? The greatest bulwark to strengthen our faith. What is it? I was asked you young people tonight, what's the greatest strength, the greatest bulwark that can strengthen your faith? Sure it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the King in Zion. He's King in the church. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And if you and I are to walk about the church and to consider the doctrines, our thoughts, our hearts should be moved to consider the King of kings, to have right views of our God, that he might be lifted up and exalted as the great God. Again, often today, people have little views of God. They seem to have no real understanding of how great he is. We know that Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. May you and I have that high view of God. The higher the view we have of our God, the greater we will appreciate and understand his amazing favour and blessing in looking upon us and showing his mercy and showing his loving kindness. And so we are to mark ye well her bulwarks, not to just pass them by. Look at them carefully, study them, the bulwarks of our God. And one of the great bulwarks are the promises of God. The promises of God to the needy soul. God's promises are so strengthening. Now, there's much to read of, isn't there, with regard to God's promises. They are indeed so great. They are so many, aren't they? We can read them right from Genesis to Revelation. And may we see the blessing of them. Realize that we have a God who is the Lord. As the psalmist started here, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of God. This is the great God that we come before. This one who speaks his promises. His promises to us. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Gracious gospel invitations. Bulwarks, are they not, to strengthen our faith? Encouraging words that we don't give up. Encouraging, isn't it, to a needy sinner to be strengthened with such a word as that, to come boldly unto the throne of grace. It's a promise that we may find help in time of need. God's promises, seek ye the Lord. Again, a wonderful encouragement to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The Lord, my friends, is near. He's not afar off. We may feel it sometimes, but this is a bulwark to the church of God, to realise that there are those wonderful promises. The Lord has said he will help us all our journey through. He will grant us that grace, as Paul said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My friends, that's a strength, isn't it? That's a bulwark, isn't it, to us as we journey on, to think that this great God will supply all our need. All our need. Now, it doesn't mean to say that that will be supplied that you think or I think is a need. But my friends, God will supply all the need that we really have. God knows your need. He knows my need better than we know ourselves. And to think that he's promised God will supply all your need. And it's very special as you read in Philippians 4 verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Ah, we have a God who will not fail. What a great bulwark this is, isn't it? Promises. And then to realise we have a God who watches over us. He watches over us day by day. He watches over us in our providential life. Again, he knows what he's doing to you and to me. He knows the path that he has ordained for us. He's watching over us. The way we go cannot be wrong if Jesus be but there. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. As we then walk about the church and we see these promises and we see these favourable statements to us, to be able to come casting all our care upon him, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for us. Isn't that a wonderful realisation that God's watching over us? He's caring for you, he's caring for me. Amazing, isn't it? How encouraging. As you and I walk about Zion and we mark ye well her bulwarks. Yes, we mark them well. And the bulwarks are the promises of God, and they're centred really in the covenant of our God, the covenant of his grace, the wonderful promise of God, his faithfulness, which will not fail. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces. When you and I think of a palace, we think of something rather beautiful, don't we? In an architectural way, we think of something beautiful. Well, as we may consider a palace, palace is often a place where treasure is kept. Surely these views of a beautiful building and a place of treasure gives to us a very clear picture of none less than the Lord Jesus Christ. The word tells us where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. Where is our treasure today? Is it in what Christ has done? Is it in the promises that Christ has given? What a blessing then it is that we might indeed be found considering her palaces, considering what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Indeed, the Apostle Paul tells us, doesn't he, in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, I think it's the third verse, consider him. Consider him. Consider her palaces. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing greater is there to think about as we walk about Zion, walk about the church of God, considering the doctrines of God, the truths of God, the doctrines concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Consider her palaces. Well, do we consider the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not something that we just do once a week, you know. We should be found considering him day after day. Because what is there to be seen in a natural palace as a beauty, my friends? But the beauty of Christ far exceeds any earthly palace. The church of God, as we read in the Song of Solomon, she saw the beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did she say? She said, he is altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. So suitable to her case. Well, what a blessing if you and I have that same understanding that the bride of Christ had when she spoke in the Song of Solomon and she said, his mouth is most sweet, the words that the Saviour speaks. If we're considering him, consider the words that he speaks. As you and I walk up and down in the church, in the Bible, through the Word of God, we walk up and down in it. It's a great blessing to walk up and down in the Word of God. Not to just read it without any spiritual concern, but to walk up and down in it. Do you know what that means? Do you understand that? Walking up and down in the Word of God. Looking around as you read it. Pondering it. See the blessing the words contain. And to recognize the truth of these words. His mouth is most sweet. My friends, there's nothing more blessing than to receive a word from the Lord himself. His mouth is most sweet. But again, what a necessary thought it is to be able to evidence that as we may walk about the church, walk about Zion, walk up and down in his word, to have his word spoken into our hearts. To be able to remember what he's said, what he's done. Well, tonight, I wonder if you and I can concur with this statement, because it's true in our spiritual experience. His mouth is most sweet. Why is that? How would you answer that tonight? Would you be able to agree with the bride described here by Solomon and say, yes, I can agree with that, because the Lord has spoken to me. Because the words which he has spoken are sweet. You know, this is the blessing of God, isn't it? This is walking out such a word as this, to walk about Zion and to consider her palaces, to consider the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the exhortation, really, isn't it? Then as this bride viewed the Saviour, let us not forget how she had, as it were, turned her back upon her God. Yeah, she'd come into a slovenly, sleepy condition, lukewarm, a Laodicean situation. The Lord had come to the door. He knocked at the door, but she was too lazy. She got in bed. She wasn't going to get up again. My friends, what a sad condition. How true it is today of much of the church of God today. Lukewarm. But nonetheless, God was merciful She didn't stay there. She realized her condition. And then she longed after the Savior. She longed to find him. She'd gone about the city. She'd gone about Zion trying to find the Savior. Well, it wasn't quite as easy as that. She went and heard the preaching of the gospel, the watchman. They smote her. Oh, it wasn't comfortable. And my friends, the living child of God, if you and I realize we've been in a lukewarm condition and been wandering around, and then the word of God has come and struck into our heart. And we read, they smote me, they wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. There wasn't any hiding. Everything was revealed. We stand naked before Almighty God. He looks at your heart, looks at my heart. But then you see, the church of God, the church saw the extremity of this person, and they asked her a very important question. They said, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? Well, tonight, that question was put to us. That we are to walk about Zion, and that we might consider her palaces, we might consider the beauty of the Saviour, and the church of God may come to us and say, well, what is your beloved more than another beloved? How would we respond tonight? What would our testimony be? Well, she gives a wonderful description. I won't go through it tonight. It's a great truth as you read from verse 9 down to the end of the chapter. But just to read the last verse, his mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. She could see no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. She could find no fault with his dealings with her. She was really walking about Zion. She was considering the palaces, the Lord Jesus Christ. She was able to come, and having given this glorious description, she then makes this final statement. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. And my friends, what a wonderful blessing if you and I can come there, be able to declare, as we walk around, considering the palaces, considering the beauty of Christ, that we're able to describe it like this. This is my beloved. This is the one. This is the one who's saved my soul. This is the one who's died upon Calvary's cross for me. This is the one who's washed away all my sins. This is the one in whom my hope is built. My hope is built on nothing less. This is whom I'm looking to be with throughout eternity. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. We don't want to go to glory and be with a stranger, do we? Someone that we don't know. Someone that we've had no consideration of. Someone that we haven't met with. Someone we haven't confided with. Someone we haven't communed with. You know, the children of God don't get to glory and find Christ a stranger. They will be able to extol him and be able in measure to come in and be able to say, this is my beloved and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem, testifying to the church of God so that his name might be honoured and glorified. Walk about Zion, go round about her, tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bullocks, consider her palaces. Now you see, having come to this position, having then been blessed with this good walk and this good investigation and this good evidence of the Lord's greatness and glory and beauty, then here we have this great statement, ye may tell it to the generation following. How necessary such a statement as that is. How very necessary such a statement as that is. And we read together a number of scriptures which so encourage us in these things. And to realize that we have such a God that we can trust in and be able to tell people of that trust. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. To remember then that we have such a God that we can indeed trust in. And to tell that indeed to the generation following. And Psalm 78 speaks to us in these words. We will not hide them from their children. And what is this? Asaph tells us, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. Will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Well, this is a statement again of Asaph as he was moved by the Spirit of God. We will not hide them, hide these great truths from the children, from the young people in the day and age in which we live. There is perhaps a ignorance in these things and a great lack of speaking the things of God. How backward we are. How we dishonor our God. How we ignore his mercy and his favors and his love. We ignore acknowledging what he's done for our soul. Acknowledge what he's done in our life in providence. Acknowledge when he's answered our prayers. Do we tell it to the children? Well, says Asaph, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. It's a very comprehensive statement, that, isn't it? What wonderful works has the Lord done for you, my friend? What has he done for your soul? Have you spoken of it? And this isn't for our honour and glory, my friends. It's for the honour and glory of God. That God who has been so gracious, so kind, to take notice of such unworthy sinners. And so here we have this gracious word, this gracious exhortation. And so important it is. And in the 71st Psalm, we also read similar words when the psalmist says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. He didn't have anything to be ashamed of, did he? Now also, when I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Surely the concern was there to honour and glorify his great and glorious God. And that should be our concern today. For the blessing of the young people in age and the young people in grace. My friends, it should be our constant concern and desire to be able to declare these truths. And perhaps we might look at ourselves and think, well, I've got nothing to say. I've got nothing to declare. If that should be so, my friends, oh, pray mightily unto God, that he will come and visit your soul, that he will reveal himself unto you as he does not unto the world, that he may reveal to you that beauty in Zion, that you may be able to declare him, that he may show to you his hands and his side, that he may show to you those wounds which he suffered for your salvation. You may have the evidence that he has died on your behalf. He's washed away all your sins in his most precious blood. Oh, this is the great and important things in our lives. This is the necessary thing that you and I must have. You know, the hymn writer says, and it's a great truth, and it's a wonderful truth if you and I can say it. He said this: I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. What does that show us? That shows us how he valued Christ. He valued Christ. Do you and I value Christ in the same way today? It's a great statement, isn't it? Well, what a mercy if you and I can and honestly declare it. Indeed, to the generation following this truth, tell it to the generation following, the people that are following on, to declare what he's done for our souls. Oh, what a blessing it is to have such a God. A God who is so kind, a God who is so merciful, a God who does not deal with us as our sins declare. You know, God's prophet Joel, that short prophecy also homes in on this testimony. And he tells us, as he began his prophecy, the word of the Lord, not the word of man, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel: hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even the days of your fathers? Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. He is to tell them this: that which the palmer worm hath left hath a locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. Well, here's Joel then, a servant of God, speaking like this: tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation, to hand down from generation to generation the greatness of God, the things that the Lord has done for our souls, so that his name may be honoured and glorified, not only, of course, in our souls, but also in the things of providence, because the Lord is a God of providence and a God of grace. And the Lord does deal with his children in love and mercy, and he does hear and answer prayers. And my friends, if you and I are children of God, there must be those occasions when God has heard our prayers naturally and appeared for us. Blessing it is, we have the evidence of God's mercy and love toward us in not dealing with us as our sins deserve. Now, Moses, that man of God, as he came down to the end of his life, he was concerned that Israel might remember the work of God. He was really concerned about it. My friends, may you and I be really concerned about those who are following on. May know the work of God. And so he tells us this in the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy: hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And he tells us, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Well, diligently unto our children. The words of the Lord, the work of the Lord. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. Talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. And when thou walkest by the way, when you go out for a walk, to speak about the things of God that he's done. And when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Really, it means every opportunity we are to speak to the children. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to give thee great and godly cities which thou buildest not. And he goes on. And all these things are to be declared to the children, to those who are following on the generation that is to come, that ye may tell it to the generation following. Well, it's a wonderful blessing, isn't it, to be found like this, to be able to tell it indeed to the generation following. You know, and just finally, Moses again speaks in the 11th chapter, very similar words. He says, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. He's really saying that these things need to be before us. You see, we live in an age, don't we? So many material things are before us that crowd out the things of God. But here, my friends, is the pattern which is set before us in the Word of God. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Well, how relevant it is in the day and age in which we live, all of us, my friends, to be able to tell it to the generation following. It's a wonderful blessing and favour if the Lord has blessed us with that wonderful privilege of walking about Zion, the church of God, and to observe the greatness of our God and the blessedness of the Saviour and all the doctrines which are encompassed in those great truths, and to mark them all out and to tell them to the generation following. And then finally he says, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Now the psalmist had his complete confidence in his God. And what a mercy, my friends, if you and I have our complete confidence in our God. Remember what David said in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What was that? Confidence in his God, wasn't it? And he tells us, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The Lord was with him. The Lord was leading and directing him. This God is our God forever and ever. He's not a God that fades away. He's not a God of wood and stone. He's the living God, the true God, the eternal God. This God is our God. Now, you and I will only be able to declare him to be our God if we've been blessed with this personal experience of walking about Zion and observing those things which are there and considering them and being blessed with them so they fed our souls. So we're able, therefore, to come with a personal testimony. For this God is our God forever and ever. This is the reason. Our confidence in it is in our God. Because of what he's shown to us. Because of what he reveals to us. My friends, God does reveal himself to his people. He does reveal himself. What a wonderful thing it is. My friends, it's things when God reveals himself to us, we don't forget those occasions. We don't forget what he's spoken to our hearts. Because they are from God and they've been applied with power from on high. God, as it were, writes in our heart his word. And it's like an iron pen writing in the rock. You know, an iron pen writing in the rock, it leaves a mark. It's an indelible mark, isn't it? It's there. It can't be erased. And that's so true with the things of God when he speaks and works in our heart. Sometimes, you know, there have been those people that have come down to old age who may perhaps have been very muddled on the things in this world. But it's been most remarkable when we've seen people like that who've been clear in their minds with regards to the word of the Lord. You see, it's been inscribed in their heart. It's a spirit's work, and it's there. And as such, there is that humble confidence to be able to come and declare, well, by the grace of God, I can say this. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. The psalmist David was able to declare it. And in the 89th Psalm, we also read of a very similar word as that, which is encouraging for us. And we read, I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Again, I believe the Spirit of God brings us to that place where we can say, my Father, because of his work in our hearts. Because as Christ has been revealed by the Holy Spirit, we can come down and say, yes, my Father. For this God is our guide forever and ever. He will be our guide. Just think of that. As you and I come and by God's grace, we put our hand in the hand of our Saviour. And he leads us safely on. He won't make any mistake in your journey of life. We make mistakes because we do not come as we should, committing all our way unto our God. We often try and plan our own life. But my friends, may we come, as the psalmist said, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. Isn't that humbling to think of that? That God cares for us. And he cares for us so much that he's revealed himself unto us as it is not unto the world. Well, today, tonight, do we see any beauty in Christ? Do we see any suitability in Christ? Do we see the need for him to stand in our place? The need to take all our sins? Because we cannot rid them ourselves. No, but we should thank God tonight that we have such a Saviour who is so willing to die that we might receive that great gift of eternal life. He might give his life that we might receive life. Now, if you and I have a good hope in his grace, a good hope in his mercy, felt a little of his love in our heart, been touched by the good hand of our God, be able to recognize his grace within us, to be able to come then and say with a holy confidence, he will be our guide. He will be our guide even unto death. Right down, my friends, to the end of our journey. He will not leave us. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. What a wonderful blessing it is to have a God who does not leave us, who does not forsake us. Whatever our condition, his promises are firm and true. He is faithful. And to come then back to this first verse and be able then to declare, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And may we all come there. May we all know what it is to bow down before our God with this great desire to honour him, to exalt his name. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. May we know it and may we desire to be able to exalt his name. And so as we come together tonight to think on these words, gracious words, aren't they? To walk about Zion, not be stationary, to move around, viewing the glories of God, viewing his great work, that great work of salvation, viewing his great favour of choosing lost mankind, looking to see his amazing love to unworthy sinners, his great mercy, his shed blood, his atoning blood, the redemption, all our sins washed away. My friends, aren't they great views? Aren't they great things to consider? Aren't they glorious things? And so may the Spirit of God lead us into this path, that we may have the evidence of God's work in our souls. There's nothing more important in our lives than to see God's work in our souls. His work, his work, his work will stand. His work will bring us safe home to glory. But it's so important that we have the evidence of it in our souls. And friends, if we do not, or may we be found pleading earnestly, God will reveal himself unto us as he does not unto the world, so that we may be able to say that he is our salvation. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. It's a personal application. It's a personal word. And my friends, it comes with the power of the Spirit of God. The blessing is, you and I cannot resist that power. Oh no, that Spirit's work will be performed, but it will be performed for this reason, to bring honour and glory to his great and holy name. And so here we have this statement, that ye may tell it to the generation following. Oh, may there be many who may be able to come and to declare what he's done for our souls. Come all ye here that fear God and hear what he hath done for my soul. Oh, they're glorious times. My friends, and it's a wonderful blessing to be able to declare what he's done for our souls. There's a wonderful blessing in that. It's a relief to be able to honour our God for what he's done for us. And what has he done? He's given his life that we might have life. What a debt we owe to that great God. And the Lord tells us, well, at least in the Old Testament, but it is the Lord's, those that honour me, I will honour. And those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Many people have despised the greatness of God. They'd be more concerned about their own skin, more concerned on putting on Christ, more concerned about what people think than what the Lord thinks. But oh, my friends, may hearts be moved to be amongst those who are led into this path, that they may tell it to the generation following and have that good answer in their hearts. For this God who's revealed himself to me, this God who's spoken to my soul, this God who has given me a hope in his mercy, this God is our God. And to say this God is my God forever and ever, he will be our guide even unto death. And you see, with that evidence, we can have that confidence that he will be with us throughout our life and take us safe into glory to be forever with the Lord. Amen.